Welcome to Motley Fool Money. I'm Chris Hill, and I'm joined by Motley Fool senior analyst James Early and Shannon Zimmerman, and retirement expert Robert Brokamp. Guys, thanks a lot for being here.
Good to be with you, Chris.
All right, we got a lot to talk about this week. The Dow hits a six-year low, bank stocks get whacked, and oh yeah, President Obama signs a nearly $800 billion stimulus plan and presents his housing proposal. We'll give you the Motley Fool take, look at a few stocks on our radar, and tell you what the financial media isn't telling you as we offer up our weekly unconventional wisdom. But we begin with the sinking stock market. The Dow hit a six-year low earlier in the week, and then on Friday sank to its lowest point since 1998. Bank stocks really took it on the chin this week, James. A lot of talk that the government may nationalize the banks. How short a leash are the banks on right now?
It's not good, Chris. It's not good. I mean, I would say it's a pretty short leash. One thing is for sure, and that's nobody in the government has much sympathy for banks or for bank investors. It's all about supporting the economy, supporting the greater populace. I think paramount in Obama's mind are a few things. First is the Swedish model of the 1990s, fueled by rampant credit. Sweden had a very similar crisis. They quickly moved in, nationalized all their banks. Government got equity. It later sold that equity at a profit, and everybody was happy. That's the positive. On the other hand, Japan kept propping up its insolvent banks and created what were called zombie banks. In other words, banks that would
zombie banks.
These are entities that wouldn't
just,
have.
They're just staggering, looking for
correct,
for blood.
Correct. In a sense, they just wouldn't hack it on their own, and the government just kept propping them up. And I personally think that's a mistake. I mean, I think Obama knows that too. So we may see swift action. We may see major house cleaning, and we'll see what happens.
I think anytime you're invoking zombie anything, that's generally not a good sign, Shannon. The continuing decline of the stock market,
sure.
Is that really a vote of no confidence on the stimulus bill that Obama signed?
I don't think so. I think there is still some residual hangover of disappointment related to Tim Geithner's plan that was rolled out last week. It was really the outline of a plan more than a plan itself. I think that vacuum that was created there sort of being filled up with talk about of nationalization. And as that becomes more and more inevitable, and I think it is inevitable, the bailout plan will sort of recede in the rearview mirror, and folks will understand what it's going to take to actually get the economy going again, and the financial sector in particular. Right now, I think what's happening is that the market's current trajectory reflects this sort of state of unanalyzability, basically. And you've got all kinds of macroeconomic hand-wringing, and there's the old saying that Wall Street climbs a wall of worry, and it also descends that wall. So if you have, you know, a worldwide demand depressing downturn, and you've got a domestic economy that is predicated to the tune of about 70% on consumer spending, well, that's a recipe for stagnation. Add to that, you know, the plummeting value of folks' homes and the wealth effect or the non-wealth effect that has. Well, that's a recipe for a crisis. And then add to that the meltdown in the financial system, and you've got a real catastrophe. So I think that, you know, it is unanalyzable. Wall Street hates mystery, and that's what it would be if it were a literary genre, or if it were or a film, it would be a disaster flick like the Poseidon Adventure.
Okay, well, Robert, the stimulus plan includes tax cuts. The average person is going to get a tax cut of about $400 this year and next year, but the tax cuts are being doled out paycheck by paycheck in the form of lower withholdings, so around $8 a week. And so some analysts say that's going to encourage spending. Behavioral economist Dan Ehrlich told the Motley Fool that there's actually a better way to go.
My preference would be to do a lump sum. Actually, my favorite approach would be to give people a prepaid debit card with Obama's smiling face and a statement underneath it that says, spend the government's money. And I think that if people got this money as a separate from the rest of their spending and buying, they will feel different about it, and they might actually go ahead and spend it.
What do you think? Do you like the debit card idea?
Well, I'll tell you why he's doing that. When everyone got rebates, well, a lot of people got rebates last year, the vast majority of those rebates weren't spent. People used it to pay off their credit cards. They might have sent it to their mortgage lender. They just put it in the bank because everyone was so worried. So it was supposed to be a stimulus so people would spend the money, but it didn't happen. So his idea makes sense if you want a very short-term, quick stimulus, if you want to get money into people's pockets that you know will be spent and not saved and not put to pay off debt. I think it makes sense. Now, whether that's good for someone individually, I would disagree. I think people, when they get that money, they should sock it away. They should pay off their loans. So it's something that some economists call the paradox of thrift, whereas thrift is actually good for you on an individual basis. It's actually good for the country long term to have that capital stock. But in the short term, what you want for the economy as a whole is people to spend money. So that's what he's trying to do. He wants people to spend that money right now for the economy. That might be good, but for individual people, I think it's better to save that money and build up your emergency fund, pay off your debt.
Yeah, I was going to say, Shannon, if you're a retailer, sure. I mean, how are you feeling about this whole plan?
Yeah, I think that you would probably like the debit card plan quite a bit with Obama smiling face. I think that could be a nice little touch as well. All right, so Robert's point is a great one, the paradox of thrift. Right now, what needs to happen is to stimulate the economy is that people need to go out and spend a lot of money. Even though in the long run, that isn't going to serve us very well. So how you balance those two ends of that particular spectrum, that's the challenge that we're facing right now.
Okay. President Obama also unveiled his housing plan. It includes incentives for lenders who reduce payments for at-risk homeowners. But some analysts are saying that this really is just rewarding bad behavior. James, is that a fair criticism?
Chris, it is. I mean, technically, it is rewarding people who bought houses they shouldn't have. But that's just one piece of it. I mean, I don't think that's the biggest piece, and maybe that's acceptable collateral damage here. I mean, we have much bigger problems to worry about than that, I would argue at the moment. I think one of the bigger problems is simply the reality of where is the market really at. You know, when you start going in and meddling with this kind of stuff, don't forget these mortgages are bundled into mortgage-backed securities, and these are specific contracts, and when the pricing gets all messed up, nobody knows what's going on. And we've had a big crisis of confidence already. I don't know that this helps too much. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I just think we don't know yet. So I think we're right to be kind of easing into it. It's not a ton of money that's been committed at this point. So we'll wait and we'll see.
Shannon, what do you think?
I agree that it's a fair criticism, but then so what? It doesn't mean that the scale of the plan isn't required. And folks who want to be moral hazard purists are kind of cutting off their noses despite their face. You know, however their neighbor ended up near foreclosure, if they actually do enter foreclosure, that's going to have a ripple effect across the fence and into the moral hazard purist's backyard as well. And I think the fact that some of the loudest critics of this plan have been financial sector types who are lecturing us about moral hazard is a laughable to the point of hilarity.
Robert, last word.
Well, I'll just say that I think we can all agree that one of the reasons we got into this mess is that people across the spectrum had too much debt. Whether it was people who took on mortgages they couldn't afford, investment banks and hedge funds doing too much leverage, things like that. So you think, okay, a year ago we had all this debt. That's part of why we're in this mess. A year later, still have the debt, but we're all poor. We have lower net worths. A lot of people are losing their jobs. So debt really is the source of all this. It's the foundation of what's causing all this problem. So something has to be done about that debt. Whether this will do it or not, I don't know. But you have to do something about all the debt out there.
A lot of stocks out there are trading at incredibly low multiples. And so for people out there looking for an investment opportunity or simply just to reallocate their portfolio, James, give me a stock or two on your radar.
Sure. First of all, I think people should be careful and don't do anything stupid. There are a lot of cheap stocks, but there are a lot of stocks that are cheap for a reason. One stock that I do like that I think is pretty stable is called Republic Services, and this is a trash company. It's one of the largest. Republic specializes in Sunbelt states trash. These are newer markets that are a little more sensibly set up. In other words, trash is a natural monopoly. Unfortunately, in many places, it's not treated as such, so you have multiple providers driving down the same block just to pick up different people's trash. Now, in the South, they were a little more prudent, and Republic Services can come in and just take up all the trash on the block. So operationally, it makes sense. It's a business that's not going away. Nobody's going to stop creating trash anytime soon or wanting it to be removed from their house. So I like it. Ticker is RSG.
Okay. Shannon?
I agree with that. Caution is certainly advised right now. But I do think that unless you believe the financial apocalypse has actually occurred, there really are opportunities for patient, long-term investors who are willing to be patient over the course of many years. But even among that group of brave souls, the way to proceed isn't exactly clear. If you look back at market history, you know, the market typically is a leading economic indicator. It turns up well in advance of the overall economy. And then typically, coming out of a down market, small caps lead the way during in the first leg of a bull run. Now, I think that whether or not that trend line would continue into the future is questionable. And then also, you have to discount it for valuation. Small caps in the aggregate are trading at a valuation premium to large caps. And when, and this goes to James's point about being cautious, when you can look at companies like IBM or 3M or Procter & Gamble and get these fantastic, cash-rich, financially healthy companies trading at a PE level below the broader market, that's a good way to proceed for folks who are maybe feeling a bit stung as they look at their nest eggs and how they've cracked up, but still want to find a way to profit from the coming rally whenever it comes.
Robert, nonstop coverage of the economy. We're hearing a lot of things. Give me one piece of unconventional wisdom that we're not hearing.
Well, I would say that one thing that a lot of people do, and probably most people do, is that they reinvest their dividends and they reinvest their interest from their bonds or bond funds. And I think for some people, you might want to change that a little bit for a few reasons. For most people, it probably still makes sense. Certainly with dividends and you're reinvesting them, the dividend yield is increasing. You're buying more stocks at a lower price. It makes sense. But here's the type of people who I think might want to change that a little bit. First of all, let's say you sold all your stocks and you just have bonds or cash or something like that. I'm not going to encourage you to jump whole hog into the stock market, but if you're worried because you want to preserve what you have, one thing you can do is keep the cash, keep the bonds, but instead of reinvesting that in more bonds and more cash, use that to gradually move into the stock market. On the flip side is if you had too many stocks and you feel like you didn't have enough cash, you didn't have enough bonds, but you don't want to sell at this point, use those dividends to accumulate as cash and build up the safer side of your portfolio. And the third reason to do this is if you hold these investments outside of a retirement account, if you let that accumulate as cash and then buy the investments, you build up different tax lots. It's a little confusing, but it's a great way to do your tax loss harvesting throughout the year, to sell some investments at a loss, take that and it offsets your gains when we get gains again one of these days, as well as
dare to dream.
That's right, as well as offset it to up to $3,000 of income. So it's basically a $3,000 tax deduction you can take every year if you're actively harvesting your losses throughout the year. Again, that has to be money outside of your retirement accounts, but it's a great strategy.
James, unconventional wisdom?
Yep. Well, first, let me agree with Robert. And even as the guy who runs the dividend stock newsletter, dividend reinvesting is great, but if the stock you're reinvesting those dividends in is plummeting, you're just accelerating your downfall. So I think there's definitely some prudence there. My piece of wisdom is simply to save more. And that's contrary to what the government or somebody like Dan Ariely may say, but my analogy that I use is sort of like a sleepy trucker who's given caffeine over and over again. And this is what the U.S. government has been doing to stimulate the economy. Cheap money, easy money, encourage spending. I mean, it is 70% of the GDP, but I think that's bad. And eventually the trucker needs to sleep. In other words, caffeine works for a while, maybe for several iterations, but at some point, just got to rest and build back up, and we're at that time now.
Shannon, last word.
The end is nigh. That's my unconventional wisdom.
Wow, really?
And by that, I think the end of economic and market calamity is nigh. I think that trying to say, of course, when precisely the proverbial turn will occur is a magic eight ball exercise. But bank nationalization, which should be short, sweet, and not especially brutish, I think will be an important marker. And it might even be the match that lights the lighter fluid that the economic stimulus plan has thrown on the economy. So before you can solve a problem, you have to admit that you have one. Nationalization will be the admission that we don't have a liquidity problem. We have a banks made bad bets and made and booked a lot of losses, and it'll also be a part of the solution as well.
All right. That's Motley Fool Money for this week. Shannon Zimmerman, James Early, Robert Brokamp. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Motley Fool Money. Remember, the conversation continues 24/7 at fool.com. I'm Chris Hill, and we'll see you next time.